Welcome back, folks, on this Tuesday, the 5th day of December, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and there was so much news over the weekend and on Monday that we needed to start off with several of the stories, and there were actually quite a few of them, that are directly intended to deal death to not only Americans, but as much of the world and to civilization itself as possible. That, of course, continues, and we'll no doubt have more on it both today and in the future. But now that some of that smoke has cleared just a bit, we need to return to some of the other stories that make it all possible, like the kind of corruption still writ large that successfully destroyed a once constitutional republic and replaced it with a senile puppet on a string for the one world order controlling dictatorship. Which is, of course, as expected, consolidating its gains by continuing the out-of-control invasion of the country and destroying the rule of law. Let's start there with just one aspect of that invasion. Mobs of illegal aliens, says a piece from InfoWars, courtesy of Jorge Ventura, consisting primarily of military-aged Chinese males, swarmed the California border on Monday, according to reports. News Nation correspondent Jorge Ventura published exclusive footage showing Border Patrol agents processing long lines of illegal migrants, yeah, sure, in eastern San Diego County on Monday morning. Most of them Chinese nationals, men crossing illegally through open gaps in the border wall at Hakumba Hot Springs in California, the communist Chinese puppet state on the left coast. Most of the people shown in the video appear to be well-dressed, well-fed, and carrying relatively new, hey, wonder who paid for that, luggage. How many of them are sabotage teams? Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. Probably just in time for the rigged election. More than 24,300, says the piece, Chinese nationals. That's enough for several battalions, folks, and literally thousands of 3 to 6 man terror cells were apprehended at the southern border before fiscal year 2023 ended on September the 30th. That number continues to rise. Nationwide, over 52,000 migrants from the CCP were encountered by CBP. It's hard to tell the difference, isn't it, in fiscal year 23. And let's get this straight again. When they're foreign military, they're not migrants, they're invaders. And while they may continue to lie through their teeth, nobody can tell you that they're not. And that's 10 times higher than the same period just a year earlier, during the Biden regime's second year of invasion and overthrow. Here next, a very much related story, courtesy of Muckraker.com, which says that in Pasto, Colombia, they found a hotel packed to the brim with, say it with me folks, military-aged Chinese nationals headed to the United States. During their stay at the Cabañas Rio Mayo Hotel, we were the only non-Chinese visitors, says the piece. All of the signs posted around the hotel come with a Chinese translation, indicating that this seems to be a common meeting place for people of Chinese origin. As a matter of fact, it says there are so many Chinese nationals headed to the U.S., they've established dedicated hubs along their migration route, like this hotel. And from this point, the Chinese will either cross the Darien Gap in Panama and trek up to the United States, or fly directly into Mexico if they were one of the higher-ranking Chinese that got a visa. Well, you're probably thinking, maybe not for the first time, just what kind of perfidy and high places does it take to buy this kind of treason? Answer, one more story, even from the Daily Mail at this point. Bank records, it says, show that Joe Biden, you know, the senile guy, received $1,380 a month in payments from Hunter's company that received millions from China. I know, that's small potatoes, maybe even teeny potatoes for the big guy, but at least it shows the pattern. Republicans, continues the Daily Mail, have now zeroed in, at least a very few of them in Congress, on the firm that the so-called president's son used for what they call tax evasion, which is kind of a gross understatement if you think about it. In 2018, says one of the sub-headlines here, after Biden left the vice presidency, but before he launched his bogus mass basement-dwelling presidential campaign, he took in multiple payments of $1,380 each that came from the Hunter-owned firm, or is it really, Owasco. And ironically, folks, while that might be a lot to Americans that are suffering from Bidenflation, that's less than the Communist Chinese Party military invader gets, courtesy of the U.S. government, each and every month. Remember the figure, $2,200 a month, if you come across the border illegally. And that doesn't even include your free phones, room and board, and bus tickets. Item, here's another one from the Tell Me Something I Didn't Already Know files, this courtesy of the Epoch Times, a new cutting-edge, their term, textbook on transgenderism, written with the help of activists, they say, will be used to train, get this, psychiatrists, and I know at least some real ones that won't like that term being used here, and could, certainly it's intended to, harm millions of children in the future, say actual experts in the field, who called it disturbing gibberish. It's been released on Amazon for $58, which is at least $100 too much, and printed by American Psychiatric Association, or APA, Publishing. The textbook signals early on, says the piece, that it's actually more subjective than objective. Hey, there's a shocker, quoting a feminist studies professor who actually comes right out and admits, at least in their terminology, scientific neutrality is a fallacy. And Dr. Lauren Schwartz, psychiatrist in Oklahoma, speaking out against the rush to transition children and the trash that's associated, says that the textbook's very introduction claims the book is based on what they now call an evidence-informed approach, as opposed to what was once called, back when it even remotely mattered, an evidence-based approach. Isn't that subtle but clever? And this is kind of telling. The 26 chapters are written by 56 different authors, 50 of whom are all part of the transgender community, says the book's foreword proudly. I guess the only commentary I can add here is, if you walk into your child's psychiatrist's office, folks, and see one of these things on the shelf, get them the hell out of there. And for crying out loud, don't even leave them alone for a minute. From there, on to the economic meltdown that's part and parcel of the bigger picture, and it continues. Many of the country's biggest banks, says a piece from Natural News, have been closing local branches right and left lately. Some financial experts are now warning that even more problems will follow. Gee, do you think? That's what's associated, folks, with the inevitable failure of the global fiat money system, dishonest weights and measures. And you knew this, didn't you? We're all headed towards a potential financial crisis. In this case, it's the nation's sixth biggest bank, PNC, that recently confirmed they'll be closing 19 branches around the United States, which might be worrying, says Natural News, if it weren't for the fact that they closed 203 more branches earlier this very year. Most of those that are being closed are in Pennsylvania, although there are also closures in Texas, New Jersey, Florida, Indiana, Ohio, and Alabama. And while the bank claims that the shift to digital CBDC et al. Kind of banking is behind the move, many customers have expressed a preference for the old traditional methods, especially those that are old enough to remember when money wasn't quite such a fake as it is now. PNC isn't the only bank to announce such branch closures, as you've probably heard. We've talked about it here. Citizens Bank is going to close 8 more branches. The second largest in the country, Bank of America, has closed 5 and will close as many as 138 locations this year. J.P. Morgan Chase has announced 18, including branches in Ohio, South Carolina, Connecticut, New York, and Florida. And a whole bunch of other smaller banks are also being forced to close branches one by one. Taken all together, says the summary, banks filed 64 branch closures throughout the U.S. in just this 1 week. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget, the commercial real estate industry is basically reeling and definitely looks like it's headed for a major fall. All you got to do is look at figures on office occupancy and office vacancy rates, especially in the major communist-controlled cesspool city downtown areas. You don't want to go there, you don't want to shop there, and you sure as heck don't want to work there. Says the story, delinquency in commercial mortgage-backed security loans rose by more than 49% since the beginning of the year and the end of October, mostly due to office buildings, which saw a 261% rise in delinquency volumes during the same period. And the real estate contagion has spread to the home market, too. New home prices are falling, registering a 17.6% drop from a year ago, while a new report from the Census Bureau and Department of Housing and Urban Development said that sales of new construction homes dropped by 5.6% last month. And Axios has reported that a rising proportion of homeowners have been selling their homes for less than they paid for them when they purchased them, some of them racking up losses in six figures. Between August and October of this year, more than 3% of American homes were sold at a loss, and that's up dramatically from just a year ago. And guess what? That's especially true in the real cesspool centers like San Francisco. I guess, folks, a few needles and a pile of feces on the front stoop doesn't do much for curb appeal. Of course, neither does getting raped and mugged on your way to the front door. One more story on the economic meltdown and Bidenflation front. This is also a pretty good segue to the truly intentional part of the war on energy. UPS has raised its fuel surcharge on U.S. ground parcel service and SurePost delivery services in the United States by 50 basis points, which is believed, says the piece from Zero Hedge, to be the first time in more than 18 months that UPS has changed its formula to reflect applicable surcharges on those services, primarily as a result of, say it with me, folks, higher diesel prices, even though they're actually not as high as they have been or, you know it, are intended to be. Here's another one of those candidates, not only for idiotic quote of the week or the month or the year, but perhaps of all time. It certainly comes from one of the primary sources of idiocy writ really large. I'm talking about John Kerry, the so-called climate czar, who was where else at COP28 in the desert with the other world destroyers pontificating about how it is that we get to fly our jets anywhere we want and we can spew carbon like there's no tomorrow, as if it really matters and we didn't know that. But you peons, we've got plans for you. And listen to the absolute... No, you just got to hear this.
There shouldn't be any more coal-fired power plants permitted anywhere in the world. That's how you can do something for health. And the reality is that we're not doing it.
And since Communist China's pulling our puppet strings, and they're building lots and lots and lots of them, and they're not even remotely clean like the ones we've been building, folks, we're not about to say anything about that. What a stinking hypocrite. But wait, we're just getting started here.
So, you know, the measure here is really sounding the alarm bell. I find myself getting more and more militant because I do not understand how adults who are in position of responsibility can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis.
Now, there's an irony here, and in fact, I didn't emphasize it. You can hear it at the very end of the quote I just played. I actually tried to edit it out before I saw another story saying, no, that's what it was. That's why it was so loud. But here's the point, folks. The headline from the Gateway Pundit says, loud fart erupts during Kerry's windy speech, and it overshadowed his audible call to reduce personal methane contributions. Okay, any potty humor notwithstanding, I guess the real point is everything at this conference is nothing but flatulence, but sadly, flatulence doesn't kill people. What they intend to do will. What they are doing, let me put it that way, will. And it's intended to. But in spite of the flatulence and utter idiocy, but maybe I do repeat myself there, what really stands out about this quote from John Kerry is what I've often called the Clintonian truth that's buried within it, if you understand what you're listening for. And no, I'm not talking about what comes out of his other rear end. Now, listen to the connection he's going to draw here, and it's actually correct, even if it's buried in one of the biggest lies you'll ever hear. And it has to do with killing you, not by destroying the CO2 in the atmosphere and doubling down on a famine, even as the sun is cooling things off and we're already headed in that direction, and people are going to freeze to death besides. No, it has to do with health. And this comes, remember, from the very same people, the totalitarian genocidal world controllers, that wanted you, and as many millions or billions as they could get to go along with it, to die by lethal injection. And it sounds like he just doesn't understand why you aren't willing to let them kill you.
I find myself getting more and more militant because I do not understand how adults who are in position of responsibility can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that the climate crisis and the health crisis are one and the same.
They are, folks, and here I truly have to be very blunt. They are both utter bullshit. It's the man-made reaction to the climate crisis that is intended and will, if you let it, kill you, just as it is the man-made reaction to the man-made two-part bioweapon. Kudos to Dr. Mengele, a.k.a. Tony the Terrorist. First the spike protein, then the mRNA injection that turns people into additional spike protein factories and destroys their immune system. So guess what? They can hit you with more of the hair of the dog next time around. For once in his reprobate fart from both ends career, John Kerry is actually telling you the bold, bald truth.
The climate crisis and the health crisis are one and the same.
They absolutely are. Genocidal, world-ending terror, paid for by your tax dollars at work. And by now you certainly know that when the truth even threatens to come out, Big Brother first censors using his public-private partners in the Ministry of Truth, and then pulls out the stops, first arresting, and then if necessary, killing people that try to get the truth out there. Of course, they're certainly willing to kill masses of people with these Zyklon B injections. They just pretend you'll never be able to prove it. But as you know, killing individuals, especially once they become more public, is a bit more problematic.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
which brings me now to an update on one of the most blatant abuses of power and attempts to destroy large numbers of, in this case, New Zealanders with the Zyklon B injection that was revealed by a whistleblower who actually used the pseudonym Winston Smith, if you recognize the clear reference to George Orwell's 1984, before the world began to realize that the brave man's real name was Barry Young. Local media said that former Te Whatu Ora, that's the name of the New Zealand Gestapo that was mandating and tracking the not vaccines, Barry Young appeared in court yesterday, accused of illegally accessing, how's that for ironic, the vaccine database, which he was the administrator for. A 56-year-old man was denied bail, for now at least, it says, after he appeared in court Monday morning, accused of leaking large amounts, yeah, most all of it, having redacted the names, that had to do with just how deadly these things really were. After Barry Young was arrested on Sunday and appeared before Wellington District Court Judge Sick Andrew Nichols, he faces one charge of dishonestly accessing Te Whatu Ora databases, with the maximum penalty being 7 years in the federal gulag, and he has not yet entered a plea. A public gallery, though, and this is kind of telling, folks, full of supporters stood and clapped when Young entered the courtroom, whereupon the so-called judge told them off, saying, "Any more disruption, and I will ask you to leave," unquote, and who knows, maybe worse. That story concluded by saying that Young had been denied bail for now, but perhaps there's some pressure on the tyrants in New Zealand, even though the now toothless peons have largely been disarmed at this point, because Stephen Kirsch has since revealed that Barry Young will be allowed bail as of 1 p.m. Tuesday, New Zealand time, which gives the police state there time to download his cloud storage, says Kirsch, so that they can verify that both he, meaning Kirsch, and Professor Fenton advised him that the data showed the vaccines were killing people. Thus, Barry should be charged with believing Fenton, who's arguably the top risk management expert in the world when it comes to vaccine safety. Says Steve Kirsch, correctly, folks, this is a horrible crime, I think, and by that he means listening to a world expert instead of their own corrupt New Zealand health sick authorities who never did a cohort time series analysis on their own data. They, in fact, says Kirsch, should be charged with the crime of coming to a conclusion that doesn't match the false narrative. For that, he says, Fenton and I are guilty. And your host will suggest, no, they should be charged with a lot worse than that, folks. Mass murder and genocide used to be real crimes before they became not only commonplace, but taxpayer-supported. This next item is a story that demonstrates a little bit of what's right and a large amount of what's wrong with the so-called debate over non-existent man-made warming, a.k.a. climate change, and the COP28 charade in the desert. This piece comes from the Daily Mail via Josh Hammer, who is, says the story, the host of the Josh Hammer Show and a research fellow at Edmund Burke Foundation. And while he gets a lot of it right, he misses what your host will suggest is the real point, which is probably, I can't help but think, why the Daily Mail even allowed it to be printed. Says the headline, "A climate summit to turn you green with nausea." Kamala and Kerry flew on separate jets. The host is a Sultan oil boss, and it's all held in Dubai, where they air-conditioned the desert. What a net zero charade, he says. And the story begins, "The UN's 28th annual climate change conference is melting down faster than an iceberg in the Arctic. It's a collection of the world's rich and influential, which he seems to believe have set out to save all of humanity by getting rid of fossil fuels. But apparently," says Hammer, "the engines of this international powwow don't run well on bull manure." Kerry, failed presidential candidate, now moonlighting as the Biden-Fuhrer's special presidential envoy for climate, is leading the American delegation to the COP28 BS summit, and true to form, Kerry, the Bay State plutocrat, reportedly jetted in on, yep, a carbon-belching private jet. While Kamala heels in the air Harris, who got to be vice president by, well, you know it, deemed the meeting urgent enough to justify the greenhouse gases required to fuel Air Force Two, and fly her, no doubt reclining most of the time on her back, to the lavish affair as well. Would it be too much, says Hammer, to ask them to rideshare? Oh, yeah, and let's not forget, COP28 is held in Dubai. Well, hey, no hate against the UAE, he says, or its glittering international metropolis. And he said, "My fiancé and I even visited Dubai last year, watching the iconic New Year's Eve fireworks from the towering Burj Khalifa skyscraper. But one thought that didn't cross my mind while soaking in the show inside of an oil-rich country that overcomes their sweltering heat by air-conditioning the desert, Quote, Dubai, they claim, will one day lead the world to clean energy, which would make sense only in a Saturday Night Live parody. Yeah, he says, the full reality is even more absurd. A lot of this, folks, I've talked about over the last couple of days. For example, he mentions that Sultan Al Jaber has reportedly argued there's no science to push the phase out of fossil fuels, which is absolutely correct. Kerry's response, though, the Sultan's remarks may require clarification. Yeah, where's Karine Jean-Pierre when you need a real whopper? LOL, he says. Recognize, he continues, that if a Republican presidential candidate, especially your host can't help but think, one that they'd rather jail than allow to be on the ballot, says there's no science supporting fossil fuel phase-outs, and that the climate zealots intend to take the world back into caves, and that's a quote, left-wingers and their captive media would laugh him right out of the waste stream. But when the president of the International Climate Change Summit says it, somehow, well, it's an innocent mistake. The hypocrisy here, he says, is simply stunning. And while that's true, folks, it misses the real point. It isn't at all just hypocrisy when they know damn well they're lying, and the intent is, and they know this too, to kill you. Not only is there no man-made global warming, because carbon dioxide is literally nothing more than a fabricated sideshow, the world could use more, not less of it, and there'd be more plants and more food, but, oh, wait a minute, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of what they intend, doesn't it? And furthermore, when people finally realize that the sun is headed into a solar minima, which happens every 206 years, give or take, and we're there, things really start to get colder globally, and a whole lot of other stuff that goes along with that happens too. Well, not only will it be too late, the world controllers will laugh all the way to their helipads, after which they'll fly on their carbon-fueled jets all the way to their underground, well-fueled bunkers and other places where they can hide out from the anger that will rightfully be directed against them at that point. Of course, maybe they'll just fly back to Dubai or their private island somewhere in the Pacific. Josh Hammer does get this part pretty much right. No, it's not coal plants that are killing people daily. It is, of course, these Zyklon B injections that are not only killing them, but many that survive will be sterile besides. What else kills people daily, he says? Poverty. And there's a lot more of it now, so far, than there is climate change, especially of the man-made variety. And there's no more time-proven efficient method, he says, for alleviating poverty than ensuring the widespread availability of affordable energy. Which is true, folks, but he leaves out the dark side of the converse there. There's no better way to kill them as well. Well, with the possible exception of that which they've already been attempting via lethal injection. Trouble is, you've got to get people to take that. Although you know, of course, that the Bill Gateses of the world are working on that. They want to put that mRNA poison in everything, from food to Novocaine in the dentist's office. But as to the not-so-hidden agenda at COP28, when it comes to cutting off their energy, ha-ha, they're not going to have any choice so far as George Soros, Klaus Schwab, and the Biden Führer's puppet masters are all concerned. Still, though, as Josh Hammer suggests, if there's one upside to this energy-intensive desert fiesta, it's that the globalist green energy blob is finally starting to tear itself apart. And here I'm going to paraphrase just a bit his final conclusion. The fanatics, he said, which is most of them, can barely contain their unmitigated fury against those who agree with them on anthropogenic climate change. In other words, folks, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, the Bud Light, and taking the mRNA to boot. But they still want to approach the problem incrementally. These, he said, are the radicals who want to plunge the world into darkness. That's correct. And prevent us from having children while they're at it. That is correct as well. But he says the extremists can't hold back the overwhelming silent majority who have managed to recognize that the world can't commit suicide on the altar of windmills and solar panels and would prefer, it seems, to just bleed themselves out more gradually over time. Here's the problem with that understanding. And your host will suggest that the truly evil world controllers and tyrants know this. If they don't destroy the world's energy and fast, it'll be too late, because once people start realizing that it got really damn cold out there this winter and it happened real fast, what's going on here? It's too late to get them to continue to kill themselves, even though by that time it probably will be too late. And that is their real goal. It's important to know the truth, folks, but sometimes that's not quite enough. We need to do something about it as well. If you don't understand what's coming and make the proper preparations now, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. The Bible, of course, says that the prudent man sees the trouble coming and takes action. And Yahushua warned us in more than one way and more than once to know the times and the seasons so that we're not caught off guard. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.